It's been almost 10 years since the global financial crisis, which caused a deep recession in this country and had ripple effects around the world. One of the worst hit countries was Greece, which had an unsustainable amount of debt and had to be rescued multiple times by international lenders. There were fears that a Greek collapse would bring down the entire euro currency and perhaps destroy the European Union. That hasn't happened yet. One of the people at the center of the storm was Yanis Varoufakis, who was Greece's finance minister at the height of the crisis. He's written a new book called Adults in the Room, My Battle with the European and American Deep Establishment. He joins us from Athens. Welcome.
Well, it's very, very, very good to be on your program. Thank you.
Well, and as we're speaking with you in 2017, the Greek debt crisis is ongoing. There are some signs of improvement, but how would you describe the current state of Greece's economy?
Well, Greece and its people are caught up in, or incarcerated, I should say, in a permanent debtor's prison. In 2010, our state went bankrupt and we pretended that that didn't happen, at the behest of international creditors who lent us a large wad of money in order to extend the crisis into the future, pretending that we solved it.
So what should have happened?
Well, what happened to General Motors, to put it in an American context? When in 2009 General Motors was bust, there were two options. Close it down and then write off all the debt, or give it a debt restructure. And you will recall that under the Obama administration, General Motors got a 90% write-down of its debt. Then restructure the company and then move on. So that's precisely what should have happened with Greece. We should have restructured our debts, restructured our state and our, if you want, society more generally, and then take the pain of this restructuring, of this bankruptcy effectively, and then start building up again.
Wouldn't it have been others, though, that were taking a lot of that pain, your lenders?
Well, for every irresponsible borrower, as they say, there is an irresponsible lender. If you didn't have this kind of pain shared between debtors and lenders, capitalism would be defunct. Because if the lenders do not take any pain, then why should any lender ever be responsible in the way they lend money? And then, of course, if lenders are not responsible the way they lend money, you end up with lots of 2008 events.
There were a lot of people all along the way when people like you were talking about bankruptcy or debt restructuring who were saying the consequences of that would have also been severe. There would have been terrible consequences. And if Greece had, let's say, left the euro in the middle of all this, the Grexit option, that would have been a disaster for Greece and for Europe.
Indeed, if Greece had left the eurozone would have collapsed and Greece would have been in a serious mess. I never proposed that Greece should leave the eurozone. But allow me to also say that when you have a large currency union like the European Union, or indeed the dollar zone, also known as the United States of America, if any bankruptcy of, let's say, California or Detroit or General Motors for that matter, if that could not be absorbed by the United States of America, I suggest to you that the United States of America would have collapsed a long time ago. The longevity of any economic bloc depends on its capacity to absorb bankruptcies, because let's face it, bankruptcies are a part of life in capitalism. They are to capitalism that which hell is to Christianity. Very unpleasant, but absolutely essential. The whole thing doesn't work without bankruptcies. So if every time there is a bankruptcy, you pretend it didn't happen by giving huge loans to the bankrupt, extending this into the future on the basis of the argument that have you not done so, there's going to be pain, that is a sure way of maximizing the pain, pushing it into the future, and making sure that the bankruptcy's pain is so fierce when it actually is realized and when the pretense ends, that the overall costs will be much, much greater. This is exactly what's happening with Greece today.
What do you think should happen now? Here we are. Greece is probably not going to leave the euro at this point and probably not going to declare bankruptcy anymore.
Oh, it certainly will declare bankruptcy. There is no doubt that when you're bankrupt, at some point, the bankruptcy becomes clear. An unpayable debt does not get paid, period. Especially when you have extending and pretending. So, in answer to your question, what should happen now? Well, what we should have done 7 years ago. we should simply sit down and do what adults do. Face up to the bankruptcy, restructure the debt, have a fiscal policy which is manageable, and then proceed with changes to the Greek society that most Greeks want. The vast majority of Greeks want reforms in Greece, but reforms that actually work. They are prepared to make sacrifices. The problem with sacrifices is that they've been making sacrifices for 7 years now. These were sacrifices that were thrown into a bottomless pit and did not bring about any improvement for anyone.
Doesn't there have to be some sort of moral hazard, though, to stop countries from getting into the kind of debt in the first place that Greece did? How do you deal with that issue?
Well, history has already dealt with this issue. If you think there is anyone around the world who would be silly enough to do which the Greeks did, think about it. Greece has lost 28% of its nominal GDP. This is worse than what happened in the United States in the 1930s. This is the grapes of wrath. Nobody would look at a debt restructure for the Greeks now as a reward for the lazy, the corrupt, and the profligate. Greece has had its huge, gigantic punishment. All I'm saying is that this punishment must end.
You start your book with a conversation in Washington. This is in 2015 when you were the finance minister, and you were talking with Larry Summers, the former Treasury Secretary, and he asks you if you want to be an insider or an outsider. First of all, what do you think that he meant by that, and how did you answer?
Well, let me preface my answer by saying that, because the context is important, this was a meeting between allies. Larry Summers, to his great credit, from my perspective, met me, and we had many exchanges during that period. So in that conversation, in order to suss out what kind of a person I am, he asked me whether I'm an insider or outsider. And in a sense, what he was asking was, can you be trusted? Insiders get to share information amongst each other, but they do not spill the beans. They don't tell the outsiders what's happening on the inside. And you never turn against insider, even if you disagree with them. And my response was, I will do whatever it takes to get Greece out of debtor's prison. And if I have to pretend that I'm an insider, I will. But the moment I see that the insiders are conspiring to keep Greece and the people of Greece inside debtor's prison, I'm outside, which is exactly what happened. This is why I'm talking to you now, and I'm not in government anymore.
I want to ask you about some of the bigger picture issues that are going on in Europe right now, because after you were finance minister in Greece, we've seen the Brexit vote. We've also seen the referendum in Catalonia, in Spain. What do you make of what's going on in Europe? And do you think that it will be able to hold together, given all of these pushes for independence around the continent?
Since 2010, I've been shouting from the rooftops, so to speak, that what we are experiencing throughout Europe is the after effects, the symptoms of a European economic architecture which was never designed to sustain the shockwaves of the collapse of Wall Street in 2008. As for Brexit, which you mentioned, if Greece was not treated with the contempt that we were treated in 2015 and our people was not crushed the way we were, I don't believe that Brexit would have taken place. Let me remind you that Brexit won with 1.8%. I can assure you that at least 2% of those who voted for Brexit did so because they were appalled by the way that Greek democracy was crushed. And I had thousands of people who came up to me and they said, look, we hear what you say, you're inviting us to stay in the European Union, but we're not going to do this. We're not going to vote to remain after the way your government was treated.
I want to ask you one more thing while we have you, something that's going on in this country. As you know, the Senate just passed this massive tax overhaul in this country that many people believe is really just a benefit for corporations and the wealthy and will not help the middle class. What do you make of this tax overhaul debate going on in the U.S. right now?
I'm particularly saddened by the low quality of the debate, and in particular, I'm saddened and angered by this monstrously irresponsible tax bill. What Mr. Trump and the Republicans are doing is they're jeopardizing the stability of the United States of America for the next 20 years. What you're doing in your country, if you allow me to say, not you, but your government, is that you are boosting the federal budget on behalf of the top 0.1%, not even the 1%, in a manner that will have absolutely no trickle-down effect. It will have more of a trickle-up effect, boosting your deficit while at the same time antagonizing the one country that owns a third of your debt, and that is China, and creating circumstances of a trade war, which, if successful, is going to make your government's borrowing costs go through the roof at a time when its borrowing needs go through the roof. Today's Washington, D.C. is going to be looked upon by the historians of the future as the worst combination of inanity and evil.
Really?
I think so.
That's Yanis Varoufakis, the former Greek finance minister. His new book is called Adults in the Room, My Battle with the European and American Deep Establishment. Yanis Varoufakis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was my great pleasure.
And we'll link you to the book, and you can leave your thoughts at hereandnow.org.